I'm going to make you think that it's the end of the service. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. When I was a child, I said this prayer with a picture of Fred, the oldest man I knew, in my head. Now, Fred was probably actually not all that old. He was the grandfather of one of the families in the church where I grew up, and his grandkids weren't actually that much older than me. Maybe he was of a great age of 84. But nonetheless, in my imagination, he and I bracketed the little community we shared, which Sunday by Sunday gave glory to God, each one of us, from Fred's generation down to mine. And it wasn't until much, much later that I realized the prayer was probably speaking of generations in a less familial way and more of a cosmic way. And then later still, when I concluded, it could in fact do both. More, in order to do the one, it had to do the other. For in order for something to last through the ages, it has to be passed on, eldest to youngest, year after year, which requires the eldest to be faithful, which brings us to Simeon and Anna. Simeon and Anna were faithful elders. They spent their days in the temple, attending to the word of God, praying, and apparently engaging those of other generations as they came to fulfill their religious responsibilities. What's more, they were on alert for the new thing that God had promised, waiting to see the salvation of the world in the person of the Lord's Messiah. I can't imagine they expected the Messiah to come in the form of this particular baby, poor and rural, born of unimpressive parents. But what they expected doesn't matter, and it seems they were wise enough to know that too. They simply waited, open to whatever God might show them. And so they were ready and able to see the new thing before it was visible to anyone else. And they took the baby, they wrapped his parents in their joy and faithfulness, and they gave glory to God from generation to generation. And then Simeon declared himself dismissed. We usually think this means the aged Simeon was declaring himself ready for death, having fulfilled his life's purpose. And maybe that is what he is doing, faithfully and bravely and peacefully declaring himself ready to move on from this life. Or maybe he's simply acknowledging the fulfillment of this particular task, allowing him to be dismissed in peace from his post as waiter and watcher, now that it is no longer needed. He has borne witness to the arrival of the infant Messiah. He has seen the salvation of the world. That task is over, and a new task has begun from generation to generation. And not just from Simeon and Anna's generation to Jesus' generation, not just from the ancient times of Simeon and Anna to our own modern time, but from that task to the next one. For a generation is not simply a bound set of people or of time. A generation is a beginning. That is what the root of the word means. And as John spoke about on Christmas morning, it is present throughout our scriptures. The book of Genesis. Genesis, generation, in the beginning. The Gospel of John, in the beginning. The Gospel of Mark, this is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. For that is how God works, constantly creating, generating, and recreating, regenerating. Glory to God from generation to generation. Glory to God from beginning to beginning. And this readiness for a new beginning is perhaps the most remarkable thing about Simeon, even more remarkable than his faithfulness in waiting or his ability to recognize the Messiah in the unlikely form of the baby Jesus. He was able to release what was finished and embrace the new beginning that God had prepared, to lay down his previous role with grace and humility and hope. I wonder if he was at all nervous underneath the joy and the devotion. I wonder if a little part of him worried about becoming ignored or forgotten. If he worried about whether this new thing God was doing would have room for him, whether he would understand it, whether he would want to be part of it. Because as hard as it can be to recognize the ways in which God is at work in the world, and the ways in which we are called to work with God in the world, it is, I think, even harder to accept when it is time to turn to a new beginning. It's hard to let go. We all know it. Hard to relinquish a job that has been ours for so long, but to give it up, to see it transformed, feels like giving up something of our very identity. Who is Simeon if he ceases to be the man at the temple watching for the Lord's Messiah? Letting go feels like an ending, and it can be hard to trust that a new beginning will come out of it, and so we might be tempted to hold on to what we have known, to what we have been. But it is precisely when we get stuck in this way, when we refuse to see or to respond to a new beginning, that we risk turning the old task, the old way, our old selves, into an idol or a prison, no matter how life-giving it used to be. And when we do that, well, then we truly do experience an ending instead of a beginning. For God promises beginnings. But God does not promise easy beginnings. I'm not sure there is such a thing as an easy beginning. Birth comes out of pain and work and risk. Whether we're talking about birthing a baby or a work of art or a relationship or a business or a new way of being a community or a new way of being in the world. Simeon knew that too. Knew that hard work and pain were coming. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel. And Mary, a sword will pierce your own soul too." I feel a little sorry for Mary and Joseph in that moment. Wonder a little at Simeon's lack of sensitivity, his odd sense of timing, issuing these dark words of warning in the midst of praise and blessing and celebration. But he knew that this new thing God was doing would not be easy, and pretending otherwise would not help. And so this faithful elder shared his wisdom with these new parents from generation to generation. And I imagine that Simeon's words echoed in their ears many times in the years to come, both the probably mostly uneventful, but hopefully joyful and occasionally hard years of raising their family, and then especially in those last remarkable years of Jesus' life, when he made manifest once again God's power to bring forth beginning out of what looks like an ending. Life everlasting from death on the cross. A message that echoes through the ages, bringing hope and courage even in the hardest of situations, from generation to generation. So today, on the eve of a new year, let us embrace the call to be like Simeon, to faithfully watch for the revelation of God's plan for the healing and enlightening of the world, and to be ready to let go of what was and embrace the new beginning when it appears, whether that is in the life of our church, in our own lives, or even in the wider life of the world. From beginning to beginning. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.